comes to us this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, actually verses 10 through 17. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days in which such work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I began last Sunday by talking to you about looking at healing stories. And I said that last week we would look at a healing story from the Old Testament, the story of Naaman, and that today we would look at a New Testament story of healing. Now remember Naaman, and the lesson we learned from him was that it is very possible for us to miss our own healing because we have a preconceived notion of what it's going to be. That is what nearly happened to Naaman. If it hadn't been for his friends and servants, he would have gone back home just as sick as he was to begin with. But he listened and obeyed, and he was healed. Now, when I thought about preaching a New Testament story of healing, a story from the Gospels, I began to look at the healing stories, and I'm not sure I actually realized just how many there were. One of the things I noticed is the great diversity that is contained in those stories. You know, sometimes Jesus touches somebody to heal them, like the leper, but sometimes not. Sometimes not. Simon's mother-in-law. Sometimes he speaks words over a person, like the man who is possessed by demons, but sometimes not. The woman who was bleeding had only to touch the hem of his garment, and she was healed. Sometimes the person asks for healing, like the blind beggar, and sometimes not. The man who was a paralytic who was carried by his 4 friends who cut the hole in the roof to let him down to be healed, they asked for him. He didn't ask for himself. Sometimes the person who is healed is a child of Israel, like the man with a withered hand, and sometimes not, the centurion's daughter. There is a lot of diversity in the way that healing stories take place, who is involved, and how the healing happens. There was a woman. She had been crippled by a spirit, and for 18 years, she'd been unable to stand up straight. Have you ever seen someone like that? Have you? Occasionally, you will see, and it usually is a woman, who is so bent over by osteoporosis that she cannot stand straight. One of the sisters at Mount St. Scholastica in Atchison, where I go often, Sister Lillian, is like that. She is not quite entirely bent over, but she is significantly bent. Sister Lillian is a storyteller, wonderful storyteller. And being bent over does not prevent her from telling stories. I wonder if you can get into your imagination for a minute. What could this bent over woman actually see, bent over like that? You know, she could see the ground, right? She could see kind of what was in front of her, kind of at the level of other people's waist or their knees, maybe. What couldn't she see bent over like that? She couldn't see ahead of her, which is one way of saying she could not see the future. She could not see what was coming. She could not see faces. Imagine that. And you know, what could others see of her? They couldn't easily see her face either. Imagine living like that. There is a woman crippled by a spirit who comes to the synagogue to pray. What do you imagine that she prays for? Does she pray for her healing? Who does she pray for? Herself? Is it possible that having suffered so much, she prays for the relief of others who are also suffering? I wonder if she still believes that healing is even possible for her, or perhaps she prays simply to endure and to have patience. What is her attitude toward life? Is she accepting? There's a story of a woman, quite elderly, quite frail, being admitted to a nursing home. Her husband had died, the home had been sold. She was moving away from family and friends and into an entirely new place, a place where many people dread to go. But her attitude was amazing. She was smiling and relaxed. She was dressed very nicely and groomed very nicely. When the staff person took her into her new room, she admired the curtains and the bedspread and the space, so small, that she was to have. And finally, the staff member said to her, "You have such a good attitude towards this. What makes you so happy?" And the woman replied, "I try to face each day with an attitude of gratitude." Perhaps our bent-over woman has like that. Or maybe she was bitter. It would be hard to blame her, wouldn't it? So much suffering for such a long period of time would make many of us bitter. Or perhaps she was still rejoicing in life. There is another story of a pastor who visited the home of a woman who was dying, and he knew it and she knew it, and he came to speak to her about what her wishes were regarding her final service. And at the end of their conversation, she said, "Oh, there's one thing I want you to do for me. I want you to make sure that I'm buried with a fork in my hand." "A fork? Okay. Can you tell me why you have that desire?" "Well, yes, as I was growing up, I always looked forward to the dessert. It was the last part of the meal, and you couldn't have it until you had everything else first. It was the best part. And I want you to bury me with a fork so that people will think that I believe the best is yet to come." Perhaps she had that attitude. Jesus sees a woman in the synagogue who is bent over and unable to stand. She doesn't approach Jesus. It's very possible that she did not even see him, bent over as she was. She didn't ask for anything. He is the one who calls her to himself and says, "Woman, you are set free." And he touches her. And immediately she stands up straight and she praises God. All of a sudden she can see what she hasn't seen for years. The sky, trees, people, the face of the one who healed her. I imagine her dancing a little, maybe turning in circles with her arms out wide and looking up towards the sun that she has not seen for such a long time and feeling it on her face. All of a sudden, she's free. She's free to move on light feet. She's free to see and to be seen. She's free to look ahead and not just down. Her view of reality is suddenly completely different. Many people are crippled by things that keep them bent over. Not just physical problems that I'm speaking of now, I'm talking about the possibility of being crippled by the burdens of life itself. The burdens that people carry when they are unemployed and doing their best to get a job and just not able to get one, especially these days. The burdens of poverty when one always has to wonder, should I pay the electric bill or should I buy food? And if I don't pay that electric bill, how long do I have before it's shut off? Or even the burden of having a job, but having a job that is very difficult. Difficult circumstances, difficult bosses, difficult co-workers, a struggle. Crippled by the burdens of single parenting, being the only one to do whatever there is that needs to be done. Crippled by caregiving. So many of us, most of us, will end up caregiving at some time in our life in one way or another. And although we are glad we are able to do it, still, it is a burden, and it can cripple us. We can be crippled by aging itself. Aren't all these things happening to you that nobody told you was going to happen? Yes? No? Amen? Or is it just me? Crippled by addictions. Patterns of self-destructive behavior that make us avoid what is good for us to pursue what is not. We can be crippled by internal burdens, too. We can be crippled by grief and loss, stuck at a time when there is so much pain over someone or something that is gone that we can't get to the next step. We can be crippled by guilt over something we have done or something we have not done. We can be crippled by shame. By shame at who we are, not just what we have done. We can be crippled by anger and impatience to the point where our relationships are damaged and it is difficult for us to make our way in the world, to have friends. And yes, we can be crippled by a lack of loving. A child who is never loved by anyone grows up with a heavy internal burden. A burden of poor self-esteem, and a burden of not trusting. All of these things, and more, can be burdens that weigh us down. And when we are weighed down with those burdens, what do we see? What can we see? Often we walk in places that seem to be dim, and we only see what's right in front of us. We only feel what we feel inside. We only see our misery. We only see what is immediate. We stumble. We run into obstacles that we can't see are there. We can't see other people properly past our own misery, and they can't see us outside it. Our perception of reality is distorted. The world and our place in it askew. When we are weighed down, what is hidden from us? The sunlight, the treetops, the sky, the traffic light that warns us, a smile from a neighbor, our smiling back. Everything in the world that should be weighted properly is out of sync. Well, what does the story of this bent over woman teach us today? One of the things it teaches is that healing often comes at very unexpected times. I know how we are. We want to see an end point. Most of us would do so much better with our suffering if we knew that come X day, it would stop. Am I right? Yes. Healing comes at unexpected times, and healing comes from unexpected sources. This story teaches us not to give up hope, but to remain faithful. Looking at those gospel stories, we see how many different ways people were healed. And that should teach us to expect the unexpected, should teach us to trust that healing will come. There are a couple of questions that is so common for us to ask in the presence of suffering, and one of them is, why me? I think of the two, that's almost the easiest, because at our hearts, we know that things happen. We know that our bodies, which are fearfully and wonderfully made, are nevertheless fragile and vulnerable to so many different things. In a way, we should thank God every single day that we wake up and we can speak and move and eat and do a daily life, because there are so many things that could prevent that. The other question, though, I think is harder, and that question is, why not me? If you look at all of these stories in the Bible where people were healed in so many ways, you think, well, why can't I or my loved one be healed like that? Or we hear stories even today that they are called medical miracles. A person wakes up. A paralysis suddenly disappears. A child who was not expected to make it does become healthy. And we think, why not me? Why not my loved one? And since coincidentally, or I should say Godcidentally, I'm reading a novel right now called Peace Like a River by a man named Leif Erikson. It's a story about a boy named Reuben. He is the one who tells the story. And Reuben, when he was born, was not breathing and did not breathe for several minutes. The doctor was there and tried to explain to the mother, this was in the early 60s, that there was no hope. The child was not breathing. He'd done everything he could and nothing had worked. In came his father, Jeremiah, and his father, Jeremiah, spoke the word of the Lord over him and commanded him to breathe, and he did breathe. Not only breathed, but he lived. Not only lived, but he was perfectly normal, except he had terrible asthma and breathing problems the rest of his life. His father worked as a janitor in the elementary school where Reuben attended, and it was led by a principal, a Mr. P, whom Reuben despised, as did most of the kids. From his perspective, this was a completely repulsive man. The unfortunate man had a very bad skin condition, and his face was nearly always broken out and scabbed over. He was, for the kids, hard to look at. And his personality wasn't very much more endearing than his looks. Mr. P created a disturbance and a mess in the cafeteria one day and summoned Jeremiah, Reuben's father, to clean it up, which he did. And then immediately, as an act of cruelty, Mr. P fired Jeremiah right in front of all the teachers and all the students, including Reuben. As he got ready to leave the room, Jeremiah walked past Mr. P and tapped him on his face. Do you know? Instantly, his skin was restored, a healthy glow. He had probably never looked like that for years. What a miracle. But you know what Mr. P did? He screamed and he ran out of there. He didn't know what to do. And about that time, Reuben began to have trouble breathing again, so he went to the nurse's office, where they prepared a breathing tent for him and some boiled hot water. His father came to get him, and he did not want to go home with his father, whom he loved dearly. Do you know why? Reuben was wrestling with this question. If his father could heal the repulsive Mr. P, then why not himself? I don't know the answer to this question. I know that there are people who will say, it's just random luck. Some people are healed and some aren't, and it's just random and there's no explanation. Some people will say, it's God's choice. that God's ways are not our ways, and we are not to question. And some people would feel that the suffering is a punishment for evils and sins that have been performed. What I say to you is, I don't know. I can tell you what I believe, however. I believe, as the epistle says, that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. And that's not a one-time thing. That's an ongoing process. We are forever being changed and transformed as we live in Christ. And that is healing. Any day with Christ is a day of healing, a gift of grace freely given. Imagine you came to the church today weighed down by a burden. Imagine you find it difficult to stand up straight, to see others, for them to see you, for you to see the wholeness and the holiness of the world and yourself. And now imagine you hear a voice calling you. Your burden is so heavy you can't lift your head, can only turn your head towards that voice. And then you feel gentle hands on your back, and a voice says, "You are free of your burden. You are set free." I wonder if this is what the gospel writer had in mind when he wrote these words, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." Some years ago in Topeka, on a day in January that was ugly, it was cold. There was a bitter wind blowing. It was gray, so gray that it almost seemed to be nearly nighttime instead of day. My congregation gathered for worship that morning in the midst of this grayness. It seemed like it had invaded our own spirits. And when it came time for the prayers of the people, it was one disaster, one burden, one crisis after another. Someone with cancer, someone with surgery, someone with a child who was lost, someone with a job that couldn't be found. And as I stood there receiving the concerns of the people, I began to feel weighed down myself in my own spirit. And then a hand went up towards the middle, kind of. It was my grandson, Paul, who was about 8 years old. And Paul said, "I have a prayer." And I said, "What is it?" He said, "I can thank God for the good weather he's gonna bring." Amen and amen.